Alrighty. Good afternoon. I am Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-21-76. It is about 1:30 on April 1st. How can I keep forgetting this important day, April 1st? And this is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. Wait, I don't need to go to that yet. Opening comments. Do you have any, Randy?
Only that I've read over the application, and I'm hoping that this informal will shed some additional LED light on the subject.
Excellent. I like opening comments with a twist. How about, I don't have any, and I couldn't possibly top that in terms of opening comments. So this is Commissioner Crosius's portfolio. So I'm going to hand it out to him. And I'm just looking at this little script here. It seems like I usually say this at the end. Oh, no, I'll say this. This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we'll close the informal and issue a notice of hearing. So with that, I guess I can either turn it over to you, Brian, or we can turn it over to the applicant.
I think we can go right to the applicant.
We'll do introductions of staff first, and then we can turn it over to the applicant, and they can introduce themselves and move into their material.
Victor Shook with advisory staff.
Jerry Lynn with the advisory staff.
All right. And who do we have with the company?
It's Lana Fiaggio over here with Undertale Power Company.
Excellent. Can you say your first name again, please?
It's Svetlana. You can call me
Svetlana.
Lana. It's much easier.
Svetlana. That's awesome. That's beautiful. What is the origination of that?
It's Russian.
Russian. Excellent. All right, Svetlana, I think if you're the one providing us with the information, you can go ahead and get started. And if there's any others from your company, maybe you can introduce them as well.
Definitely. Dave Prazak will be showing the presentation. And Dave, I don't know if you would like to, show your screen. Then we have Carrie Stephenson, our counsel, and we have Nathan Conti and Jeremy Ram from the customer service side and John Favor from the marketing. And I will try to, shed some illumination on that filing.
Very good. We know you were listening. That's great. All right. So, we're not, we don't see the thing quite yet. So our techie person is going to talk with you.
There you go, Dave.
Here it is. That's coming up. I will turn off my camera because I have to be able to, you don't need to see the behind of my head.
All right. That sounds fine, Svetlana.
Thank you. So we are presenting right now the addition to our offerings in the LED lighting service as a decorative lighting. On the agenda today, we would like to move to the next slide and to have an introduction, description, and the reason for the filing. We would like to show you the product selection and the proposed rate schedules. Next slide, please. And we already introduced the participants. It's Dave Prazak, Svetlana Fedji, Kara Stephenson, Jeremy Ram, Nathan Conti, and John Faber. And without further ado, I'll get to the introduction. An Undertale Power Company requests North Dakota Public Service Commission to approve the update to our electric rate schedule. It's LED street and area lighting, dusk and dawn. And specifically, we're asking to add new decorative LED outdoor lighting option and to clarify language changes in that section where we it's just a little additions where we clarify how we treat additional feet and how we during the transition from the HID to LED, there are some remnants of the old language left that was not really pertain to LED lights any longer. Those there were named like parts of the pictures that are obsolete. So other changes include proposed lighting rates for the primary meter customers, and the other deal is seeking approval effective the first day of the month following your commission's approval, should the approval be granted. Next slide, please. And we serve more than 290 North Dakota cities and communities of various sizes, as well as other customers throughout the state. Our company operates and maintains approximately 22,000 street and area light fixtures. And in exchange for a monthly fee, customers receive turnkey illumination services, including equipment installation, asset rental, electricity, and maintenance in a convenient monthly charge on the customer's electric service bill. Other Tales Illumination Service also addresses the problem of limited availability of contractors with the specialized equipment and qualified personnel needed to properly design, install, and maintain street and area lighting systems in select areas of Other Tales rural expansive service territory. Next slide, please. So we are proposing in this filing to add two post-talk configurations in a single pendant configuration. All proposed products will be available in black finish to simplify material standards and ordering. And Otter Tail will provide complimentary photometric design services with recommended pole and fixture spacing based on the EIS recommended light level for the various roadway. The two post-op and single pendant configurations are listed below. Next slide, please. So this one is Granville option that we're offering at $86.11 a month. And you can see how it will look. Don't know if you can see it well enough, but there is a picture, there is a light, and I think the post, the pole itself will be the same. Like for the next configuration, if you can see the next slide, just the top is different. So these two are comparable configurations. One is for $86, the other for $87 a month, with very similar lumens.
Can we ask questions now?
I think so.
Was the previous one also 14 feet?
Yes, okay. It's the same pole. It's just a different light fixture on top of it. And I think the price difference is just literally in the difference of the capital investment in the fixture itself. They take very similar amount of electricity.
Thank you.
Next slide for the Esplanade decorative product selection, number C. So this one is a taller one, and if you can see, it's usually for the roadways and bridges to have a, and it's much brighter, and it's a 30-foot pole.
And is this on a per light basis? Or?
Yes. Yes.
And what is the standard rate?
It depends on the fixture. We have about 8 different rates. But the one that's comparable to this, give me one split second to pull our rate tables. And if anybody in my group has it closer than I do, I'll welcome the help.
No rush.
Thank you. But I mean, most of our lights are offered on the wood pole, so these particular ones, they serve really as a decorative option for the downtown, for the bridgeway, for the tourist type of area where people would like to have some kind of facelift for the downtown area.
Sure.
We open it to not only municipalities, but for certain parks, and you know, anybody can purchase it. And we will install it. Okay, I get an answer from my coworker that LED 13 wood pole is about $21 a month.
I see.
Yeah. So it's a big difference, but.
So Lon, I'll add probably the most comparable offering that we have now in our approved tariff rates are going to be an aluminum alloy pole. So it's just kind of that raw aluminum look. We do offer it in a 30-foot and a 40-foot. And then the price is going to vary depending on which type of actual fixture, light fixture that you want on the top of that. So most commonly we see an LED 10 or an LED 13. So, I mean, you're anywhere from $32 to $35 a month with that offering. But some of our municipalities are looking for a more decorative option than just the raw aluminum look.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And before you move on, would you go back one slide to the one of those two? Okay, that one. That taller one, the Esplanade, I mean, I could see it shines downward. And I've always thought that was the going thing nowadays, to aim lights downward. These first two and the 14-foot poles appear to be just more traditional, just pointing up to the sky. Am I not understanding it right from the pictures, or how are these aimed?
So, Lon, I'll hop in here and address that as well. So the two post-top units, the previous design would have been similar to kind of like how a candle would be set up, right? You have the screw-in base where the bulb would screw into it, and it'd sit like a candle and just kind of illuminate from there on. Some of the newer post-top fixtures actually have the LED located on the top of the fixture that actually shines down. On the particular Granville one, they depend on the light refractor to actually aim the light in the desired pathway. So, it's really no different than the post-top options that have been out there in the past, other than these light refractors and the LEDs are a little bit more directional. So, yeah, it's not just going to be shining, pointing up into the light. It'll actually deflect the light to the area that's designed to.
Okay, thank you.
So what you're saying is Otter Tail Power shines down on some communities?
I guess you could go ahead and say that. Yep. We help brighten them up. It would be more of our term. Than
that was a dad joke. It's an old habit.
So with your permission, I'd like to move on to the slide with the rates. And this is the addition we are offering to our rate schedule. It's just those three light types with approximate wattage, lumens, and monthly charge. Additionally, because it's a big installation and it's a big capital project for a lot of cities, and we built in the pricing 200 feet of the underground installed conductor. And the conductor length over 200 feet. 200 feet should be plenty. It should not be over 200 feet. But if the design, if there is something else out there that requires additional installation, we are offering customer, instead of doing the upfront capital investment, a monthly rate of 11 cents per foot. And all additional feet could be combined in one simplified monthly charge, and that's only done so in case those things have to be redone, wiring replaced years down the road, this customer does not have to have another capital investment, so Otter Tail will be replacing it. Is there any questions over here or?
Anybody?
I would have one more. Are these fixed or these pole designs all exclusively for situations where there's underground wiring? Or can a town that wants to maybe upgrade their main street but they have above ground wiring and wooden posts transition to these and without having to dig everything up and bury the wires?
So I'll go ahead and grab that one too, Lana. All of our fixture or our offerings here on the decorative lighting, as well as our current offerings of our aluminum alloy structures, are designed for underground light or underground wiring. So that's actually part of what's in the tariff rate or the proposed monthly charge rate, is accounting for that construction. We don't intend to do a highly invasive construction method into any one of these communities. We realize a lot of the communities that are desiring or asking for these want them in their downtown areas. So we're dealing with concrete, sidewalks, etc. Of the communities that we've actually done our aluminum alloy structures in, it's as simple as removing one section of sidewalk, bore in a duct, install the base anchor for the pole, and then re-pour the concrete around that. So it's a pretty minimally invasive construction process. And like I said, we do use a duct for running the wires. So in the event that we do have a cable failure, it's as simple as just being able to pull in a new section of cable.
Thank you.
I have one overarching question. How many additional slides do you have before I ask it?
About four, actually, three total, three more.
Okay, I think I'll wait. It's an overarching question. You can answer. It can be answered at the end, but it's just the assurance that this is linear in terms of the cost to what the community that wants a particular type of light, and that there isn't any cross-subsidization occurring from a residential ratepayer, for example, to help cover a portion of this cost. But
no, there is none. We actually took the capital cost, like all the materials were priced at current prices. Everything else was priced at the marginal cost, including energy. So it's really a new construction, new price, and the customer is paying for it. There is nobody else covering the cost.
Okay, that's what I assumed, but just wanted to verify. Thank you.
No, thank you for that question.
Victor?
Next slide.
Okay.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No,
nope,
never. I was just checking in with staff, but it doesn't look like they have questions. So you go ahead, Svetlana.
And the other portion of our proposal is we are adding to the primary rate would apply under certain conditions. We have the primary customers on the primary rate, that's a different voltage level. When the customer utilizes Ottertail supplied LED street and area light that is served behind the primary meter, we have a small conflict that arises because the primary voltage meter is measuring the energy use of the light, and the unmetered developed lighting service also contains the energy charge in the bundle rate. Therefore, the customer would be billed for the energy used in this regular electric service rate, as well as a bundle lighting service. To be clear, this rate is applicable under the following condition. The customer is metered at primary voltage and taking service under this rate. The lights on this rate are metered at primary voltage. So what we're proposing is, for example, we have a customer that has the lights within their territory. Lighting rates has energy in it bundled in, but they're getting metered again for the same light on their meter outside the territory. The primary rate we're offering right now is to remove that additional charge and to avoid double charging the customer. Can we see the next slide, please, so we can show it? So here's the current lighting schedule. We should have just looked over here, silly me. And without additional energy, so the primary, we could have credited the customer, but it is easier for us to just have a different rate type the way we do the customer billing instead of doing additional credits, because if the energy component is present, if you remember, we do have riders that are applicable to the kilowatt hours. To avoid any potential overbilling of the customer, we'd like to have the separate rate for the primary metered customers without that energy component. So it would not be kilowatt hour based, it would be just flat fee, like a customer charge type fee. So those are proposed rates, and you see the primary metering credit is what is being removed from the bundled rate. And the new proposed charge is the last right column. And in North Dakota, we actually do have a customer that that situation will affect, so we would really appreciate if that could be considered.
Okay.
And our last slide, the conclusion of our presentation. Undertale believes that this application provides reasonable and useful decorative lighting options responsive to customers' requests, and that the proposed lighting rates for primary meter customers are reasonable. We're respectfully requesting Commission to approve the proposed decorative LED outdoor lighting options and language clarification changes in Section 1107 of our rate schedule, LED street and area lighting dusk to dawn, as provided in this petition. Thank you so much for your attention.
Very good. Anybody have any additional questions?
I don't.
I don't think so.
We have other similar tariffs in place for other companies on decorative lighting.
If I remember right, NSP has a similar lighting tariff. So.
Okay, Randy.
I have one question. I really don't know if it's for the company or staff, so I'll just throw it out there. Well, we have them all here. Is this only available to municipalities, or would it be something that a homeowners association or some private development area can participate in as well?
We leave it open to anybody who would want it. Okay. We don't limit it to municipalities.
Thank you.
And so if a neighborhood puts them in, then how does that get divided up to the customers in that neighborhood?
Probably the same way they're paying right now, the Lighting Bill Association fee or something like that. I would say they collect it from the customers and pay the bill. I would presume, unless it's... It's unmetered service, so it could be added if there is 10 houses and 10 lights, one per.
Okay.
Or additional at the community area divided. Nate probably can speak to that.
Yeah, so Lonnie, you are correct. The one in area that we do have that currently, like a residential planned development, that's essentially townhomes, that does have an association that does their lawn care, snow removal, et cetera. And since these are a tariff rate and not unmetered, they are paid by the association. So I'm assuming that they're just baking that into their association dues that are part of that. The other piece that we have is most recently we had like a car wash development that utilized some of our aluminum alloy offerings, knowing that the decorative aren't available yet too, but we didn't really want to limit it to just municipalities. If we had, you know, other businesses or planned residential developments taking place, I wanted to utilize our decorative options.
And is that a, do they pay that monthly fee forever?
Correct.
Like you never pay off the pole?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, keep in mind that includes everything from the energy, the maintenance, the replacement, the installation of it. You start looking in the LED lifespans. At some point in time, we're going to have to come and replace the LED fixture itself. And then also locating all the underground facilities falls back onto us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just to add to Nate's comment that the LED lifespan is about half of the old type lights. It's about 11 to 12 years versus 25. So LEDs are not as, I would say,
There's no longevity.
Right. Yeah, there's, and then that mirrors kind of the tariffs that we have in place today. I mean, if we go out and hang an LED5 on a wood pole in somebody's driveway, they pay that tariff for the duration that they request that light.
Okay.
Whether it be private or a municipality.
Okay. Anybody else have questions? No, doesn't look like it. The portfolio holder is done with questions.
I could ask if what is the expected lifetime for the light? 25 years, you said?
No, it's 11. It's 11 years.
Okay.
It's a fixture, but I mean, there is a percent that will be replaced sooner, and that is built in our calculation for the rate as well. Othertail fully will maintain those lights, so customer will just have to make a call that the light is out, and our company will take care of it.
All right.
I just want to speak a little bit to the tariff changes. I don't have any problems with any of this filing. I just kind of wanted to walk through the changes they're proposing in case it wasn't clear for everyone. So the first page of changes, they're adding a section called LED Type 2. And for clarification purposes, really what they're doing is backing out the energy costs from that. So in the example, you know, it's different for people who aren't in the electric industry to think about these things as primary and secondary services. So a customer can have one of these light fixtures after their meter, or it can be unmetered. The original tariff rate was designed for unmetered, and they had a credit system where they would back that out for customers who had them after their meter. This is providing, rather than doing this weird credit system, they've provided a, here's what it is if you have it after your meter for the light costs.
Just a flat rate.
Right. Kind of simplifies that a little bit.
That includes the energy use.
No, that takes the energy use out since you're paying for the energy through your
separate.
Normal meter.
Okay.
And then the next change that we really see is on page 3 where we're adding these decorative options. I will say that they seem relatively high priced, but they're decorative and not mandatory, I guess, is kind of how I'm looking at these things. If obviously the company's had some requests for decorative lighting from some of their municipalities, and they're trying to respond appropriately. So given that ideal that the old options are still there, you can have your own pole and have their fixture on top of it, or you can go with these kind of nicer, fancier options. I guess I don't have any issues with that idea. Yeah, that's really all for the major changes. It just looks like some wording cleanup otherwise. But I just wanted to walk through those couple of items with my thoughts. So.
That's helpful, Victor. Thank you. All right. Well, I love the decorative lighting. I think it's really quaint. And it does make a big difference in communities. But it is pretty expensive. Looking at it, maybe I don't love it as much as I thought.
Well, tax... citizens ultimately are paying for it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And obviously the city commission or whoever is approving it in downtown and those types of areas has got to be accountable for the price tag. So.
And one more question. The wood poles, I believe Lana said the price of those was and something just over $20. I'm not so concerned about what that price is, but is that a standardized pole, or is that the same no matter whether somebody needs a 40-foot pole or a 14-foot pole, or how are those planned?
I would say they probably will speak to that.
Yeah. On some of our standard tariff pricing, it is a standard 30-foot wood pole, and a overhead 150-foot line that feeds it. So that is the base of our tariff. with that offering, you can obviously choose a different variety of light types depending on the lighting need, but they all come standard on a 30-foot pole with 150 feet of overhead duplex.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to comment a little bit on pricing. I know it's when you start comparing it to our current offerings, you got to get the, oh, wow, it's a little bit of a sticker shock. But when we kind of put it in this perspective on some of the communities in our service territory that have municipalities in general that have done recent decorative lighting whiteways on their own prior to us coming to us for their solutions. The last one we've seen that was completed was in roughly 2005, and they spent $250,000 on just 23 lights. So if you started comparing that, well, and then they're still paying, you know, cost of energy on top of it, a maintenance contract, usually with OTP, and then still having to hire an electrician or somebody to locate the underground facilities and don't have a good replacement program, and the list goes on, and some of the benefits of just partnering with us and business. But when you started to compare our tariff rates to what they actually paid roughly 15, 16 years ago, I mean, they flat out can't do it anymore. The price of inflation went up. They'd have to go out and bond some money, pay interest on top of that. And then just they don't have the buying power as us as an electric utility do, simply because of the volume that we purchase through our vendor. So it really, I know the tariff rate seems high, but when you look at what it takes to actually do the installation of these products and what they cost, when you put it in the perspective with our municipalities, they really see this as a cost-effective option that does not have a large upfront cost that any of the municipalities or customers desiring to put this system.
So I'm going to throw this out, and it's not really a question, but you can just correct me if I'm misreading how this plays out. So the city gets pressured from maybe the town group that we need to revitalize and do things. So they go ahead and do this. The city gets the bill. Everybody's delighted because town looks so much nicer for 12 months out of the year. And for a few weeks out of the year, everybody's cranky because their property taxes went up again. But for the most part, they're not putting it together. And so they're just fairly happy about it. And the people in specific areas get the nice lights, and everybody has to help pay for them.
I mean, that's really up to the municipalities to determine if they want this. We're not pushing it on municipalities, but we do have some that are asking us for options, that they were saying, hey, we looked into doing this our system ourselves, but we still have to maintain it. And we just don't want to be in the business of having to continue to maintain that, for one, because we're just not set up to do that. So what does Ottertail have that we can offer and partner up with municipalities? So that's not really our determination on saying who has to pay for what, where. That's really up to the citizens of that community to determine where they want these and if they want. We're just simply saying, if you don't want a municipal-owned system, here's an option for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Questions? Okay. Doesn't look like there's any more questions. So does anybody object to the PowerPoint slides and the recording of this meeting being part of the evidence that we'll use to make our decision?
No objection from staff.
How about the company? Carrie? Does Ottertail object to having...
Sorry, my mute was on. No, Commissioner...
Okay. I didn't expect you to. Just thought I should confirm, though. All right, then. Is there anything else that anybody needs to offer? If not, then the evidence as presented will become part of the official record, upon which a decision will be made. I don't think there's any other matters for the record. So this informal hearing is now closed. Thanks, everybody, for your time.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thanks.